you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to look at Psalms and begin in Psalms 31. And just going to read a couple of verses in Psalms, a couple of things that I think sometimes we forget. You know, it's easy to say that we love God, but do we love God? Or do we love what we think God's going to do for us? I think we've talked about this before in a sense that a lot of people do things the way they do in a religious manner to try to please God to get something back from God. Well, God gave humanity what he's going to give them, okay? And that is that that reconciliation back to himself, that if we become his righteousness, then he will be pleased with us as we walk in faith and by faith, okay? So, but it says, oh, love the Lord, all of you, his godly ones. And so we have to look at what it means to love, okay? So this is, do I love what God does for me, or do I love him because of he exists? Because he created everything from a spoken word, and he has that due respect and honor and fear based on who he is. And that's where God leads each and every one of us, is to love him for who he is, not what he's doing or not doing. He wants to be loved for the person of who he is. And he calls us his godly ones. And we're only godly in the fact that we're born again. If we're spiritually dead in our trespasses of sin, and we are devoid of the Spirit, then until we're born again, we can't be called his godly ones. It said, the Lord preserves the faithful. See, God's faithful, isn't he? It doesn't depend on us. His promises don't depend on us. He is faithful. We're the ones that have the problem. We're the ones that don't keep his commandments. We're the ones that stray from his what he says is right and what he says is wrong. You know, and the scripture says, you say that you love God. This is in 1 John. You say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. Somehow we've allowed the world to take these passages of scriptures and say they no longer are valid in the fact that Jesus Christ came because he loved the Father and he saved the Israelites from their sin and God grafted us in. Remember that. That somehow we so focus on the love of God that we don't talk about the consequences of the love of God. There are consequences for God loving us. And one of those consequences is that we keep his commandments. 1 John says, you say you love me, but you don't keep my commandments. He actually is very bold and very brass and says, you're a liar. Jesus even come up and said, I will be your friend if you do what I say. And see, we want to leave that out, don't we? We don't want that to be the part of the love of God, is that that's the result of him loving us, is that I turn around and can love him back by keeping his commandments and being obedient to his word. And this is why what we read about the government and not doing its responsibility and job and punishing evil, they're not keeping God's commandments and they don't love God and they're not leading a nation to love God. Their responsibility is to lead a nation to love God by keeping his commandments. His commandments should be the forefront and the focal point of our nation. Not only our each and every life, and not only in our family life, not only in the church life, but in how our government leads our nation, it should be based upon the commandments of Almighty God. We're not going to discuss them. We're not going to get in committees, and we're not going to give situation ethics. It is, thus saith the Lord, and our country will be run based upon those principles of Almighty God. And that's how God set this up. And he says that God preserves the faithful, those that that have their hope, the assurance of their hope, based upon him, and the conviction of things not seen, that is faith. And so by the fact that we remain faithful and we continue to strive and persevere in this hope, then God will preserve us, okay? And fully recompense the proud doer. In other words, he's going to give the proud doer what they deserve, okay? God does not like the proud of heart. God does like the humble. He loves the contrite heart. He loves the broken spirit that comes to the end of itself so that we look toward a heavenly Father who can only give us what we truly need. and that is the new birth experience. That is the preserved by the Holy Spirit, that we become that new creature that allows us to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, that allows us to be an instrument used by God to draw others to Him. It goes on to tell us to be strong. Okay, we're weak. The church is weak. We're weak. We're weak on things that pertain to God. We're not strong in them. We're not resting our assurance and our hope on the things that God is saying in this world today. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. And all you hope is in the Lord. There's no hope in any particular president or any particular king or any particular person. The only hope that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that will give us that relationship to Almighty God and then allow God to preserve us in that hope. We keep putting too much confidence in the flesh. We keep putting too much confidence in someone who's going to change the nature of man. If we get just a different president, if we get just a different government, if we get just somebody in there, no. No, the evil heart can only be subdued, conquered, put to death by the Holy Spirit. If that Holy Spirit is not a part of your life, then you're not going to understand what I'm talking about. And when I said earlier you can't rehabilitate evil, you can't. Oh, you can get them to maybe stop doing some bad things a little bit, but again, the due penalty for their life is going to be eternal hell and damnation apart from God. Told Nicodemus very plainly, if you're not born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. He saves those even who believes if we persevere. I hope one of these days that God will allow me to look at the ifs of God and bring some messages on the ifs of God. So many people believe that this is a love that's not based on any consequences or circumstances. Well, Him sending His Son, it's true. But that relationship that you have with Him is based on a lot of ifs. He even told the nation of Israel, I'll be your God and you'll be my people if you do what I say. And it all comes down to doing what God says. This is really not as complicated as we have made it. It's simply obeying God and understanding that in the flesh you cannot obey God and becoming to the end of yourself and understanding that you plead in fear to get wisdom and knowledge so that you can know that you have an evil heart and know that only God can take the evil heart and change it and cleanse it and make us new creatures. No rehabilitation will change the nature of man. And they still stand before God condemned. We've not helped them in eternity. They may get some help physically for now, but Scripture usually says a dog returns to his own vomit. A sow returns to wallow in the mud because that's what a sow does. And so understand that without a change in nature, we're that same person. We just may be putting it off a little bit. We may be hiding it or subduing it, but we've not been changed. We've not been made new creatures. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. This is kind of where we left off last week a little bit. And I'm going to begin back in verse 1. It says, and working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So again, the bondservant. We are here to work with Christ. Christ was a servant of God, and we are to be a bond servant of Christ in our life to work out this salvation with fear and trembling. He didn't ask us to do it by ourselves. He said, but I want you to be bound to me, and we'll walk through this together. So many people in the flesh try to work this out in the flesh, well, if I go and read my Bible more, if I go to church more, if I give more money to the church, if I go on mission trips, if I go out and do more good deeds, then all of this is going to take place. No, it won't. The new birth experience has to happen. And that new creature has to be there first so that you can begin to understand spiritual things. The natural man can't understand spiritual things. They're spiritually appraised. And until you're born again and have the Holy Spirit living in you to guide you through all truth, you can't understand the biblical truths that that God tells us about. But don't receive the grace of God in vain. When you read something in vain, that means it doesn't do you any good. And so many people are receiving things, but if it's not given to them. And so if it's not given to you and you take it on your own accord without it being you being called by God, we learned in Sunday school again this morning that the church are to be of those that are called by God, not just people that want to join a fellowship, not people that just want to like the people. And we look at all the reasons why people join churches, and it's mainly for selfish, fleshly reasons and not spiritual reasons, because you don't join the church. You are born into it. And there's only one church that matters. There's only one church that ever has any predominance in our life that really even matters, and that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And you have to be born into that kingdom. It's not something that you get to join. And so we have to make sure that we make that distinction and that we don't receive this that we've got in vain, that we haven't followed a false Jesus, that we haven't followed a false doctrine of man and bit into that. And now we're all going to heaven because of what man says instead of the Spirit of God bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child. If that's not happening in your life, you're not going. It's that simple. Man has come in and clouded the issue to make it like there's all these different doctrines, and you can go to heaven by how the Baptists believe, you can go to heaven by how the Methodists believe, you can go to heaven by how the Catholic believe, you can go to heaven by how the Pentecostals believe. No, you only go to heaven by what God says, not what man has decided God says. And it's your responsibility to find out what God says and not listen to man. Don't find out that you've accepted this in vain. At the acceptable time, I listened to you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And Jesus came. The Word of God came. Jesus was a warning to mankind as much as he was the salvation to the Jews. And God extended that grace and mercy to the Gentiles so that we would be used. You know, we're being used by God. In this salvation to the Gentiles, we're being used by God to make the Jewish nation jealous. Do you know that? It's in Scripture. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. So basically, what he's saying here is that we take no offense. We don't want the ministry of the gospel of God, the Son of Jesus Christ, to be discredited. So basically, it doesn't matter what's thrown at us. We're going to remain the same. We don't have the peaks and the valleys that the rest of the world has based on their circumstances. If we learn to focus on who we are, we stay steadfast, and even it doesn't depend on our circumstances. Our life and our joy should come based on who we are, not what's happening in our life. And I'm not discrediting that. It's difficult. This is that part of salvation. It's that part of discipleship. It's that part of learning. It's that part of persevering. It's that part of suffering in the flesh. And again, I told him on Wednesday night, you know why you have to suffer in the flesh? So you know what it costs God to send his Son. So you appreciate the goodness of God. If you don't suffer in the flesh, you never will appreciate the goodness of Almighty God. And I'm not making light of your afflictions. Don't get me wrong. There's people out there that have some bad stuff happening to them. But you see, that's all temporal. It's not eternal. And it, we need to turn people's attention to the eternal, so they can focus on who they are to get through this life. And that's what we're called to do. But in everything, Paul says, commending ourselves as servants of God, understanding we are servants of God. It's through the name of Jesus Christ that we are servants of God. I'm not a servant of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, I'm a bond servant with. We both serve together in the same purpose, God's purpose. In much endurance, listen to this next several things that God tells us. As servants of God, in much endurance, okay? They had to endure. Just because they were servants of God, they didn't receive anything special. Now, they had special authorities. They could give the Holy Spirit to people. They could help people to see that were blind. They could help the lame to walk. They could raise the dead. They had special powers that were bestowed upon them by God. But they themselves, in the flesh, had learned to endure. They had afflictions. They had hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonment, in turmoils, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. Does that sound like a fun? Does that sound like a neat way to live? Because Paul could understand with what he went through, he could understand that all of these things that he went through to know Christ, It just didn't measure up. To know Christ meant more than all these things that he was going through. And he suffered in those times. And then he goes to impurity. You know, I became pure. I became pure in my knowledge. I became pure in the knowledge and in the wisdom of God and how to apply that. In knowledge, in patience, in kindness, all of a sudden the fruits of the Spirit are beginning to blossom even through all those hardships, even through all of those things that he went through, the fruits of the Spirit were blooming in his life. That's amazing. That's impractical. That doesn't make any sense to us in the flesh. But in the Spirit, this is how God works it. And the fact that he goes through all those things, well, then the fruits of the Spirit are growing in spite of his circumstances. He's growing in who he is in Christ. In kindness. And here's in the Holy Spirit. And in genuine love. An agape love. A love that takes into account no wrong. And a love that is based upon decision making and not feelings. In the word of truth. In the power of God. By the weapons of righteousness. For the right hand and the left. What are weapons used for? Why do we have weapons? Huh? To defend ourselves, is it not? And also to annihilate the enemy. So it's through the weapons of righteousness, the power of the Spirit within us, that we are sealed by God's Holy Spirit in us, that we know who we are, that allows us to deal with our enemies, that deal with all these adversities in life, because we know who we are. We have the weapons of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. See, people don't understand that. It's a hard concept to realize that Jesus Christ died so that and became sin on our behalf that we could become the righteousness of God. And that is what we're to use as weapons in this world to not only preserve ourselves and protect ourselves, but also to defend ourselves against the enemies. There's a spiritual warfare going on. There's a battle for your soul. There's a battle for the souls of those that you know. And we don't focus on that, do we? And he goes, and in verse 8, he goes, by glory and dishonor, by evil report, good report. So see, what he's saying, it doesn't matter. The whole point of saying this is it doesn't matter. It's based on what I am and who I am. Regarded as deceivers. Huh? The Jewish nation thought he was lying to them, that he was just got some kind of a weird new gospel going around. This gospel where Jesus sent his son and through that we gain righteousness. Huh? It's foolishness. That's foolishness. It's a stumbling block for the Jews and it's foolishness to the Gentiles. Guard as deceivers, but we're true. As unknown, but well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. As punished, yet not put to death. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Not rich in material things, but rich toward the knowledge and the wisdom of Almighty God that gives salvation to man. If you don't have salvation, nothing else matters. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. Wow, kind of new, different perspective on it, isn't it? That through this, he knew that he was a servant, and through his servanthood, all of these things came about in his life. But the greatest thing about this is that he persevered, and the fruits of the Spirit grew in his life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Just turn the page over. Again, here's the encouragement we have. This life that he has called us to live is going to bring difficulties. Life is hard. Life is difficult. He hasn't promised us a better life, but he promised us that we can get through life better. And through whatever comes our way, we grow. We keep the same perspective. It's hard, isn't it? It's difficult to keep that joy and that perseverance when things don't seem to matter or things seem to going wrong or nothing seems to be going right in your life. But go back to Scripture and see if the Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit, because that's where our strength comes from. Not on how successful or unsuccessful things are, but are we growing? He goes on to say, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we speak. And here's what he's going to speak about, okay? Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus, will present us with you. So again, understanding it's that resurrection. It's that raising of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead that secures us in the relationship that we have with Almighty God. And it's not Jesus that raises us up. It says here, it's God who will raise us up. You see, in our world today of religious Jesus, we're putting so much stuff on Jesus that God doesn't allow Jesus to do. God does it. He just does it through his son, Jesus Christ. We have to give credit where credit's due. Jesus Christ said, I do nothing on my own authority. I didn't even want to come. I came because the Father told me to come. Matter of fact, I pleaded with him 3 times that if we could do it any other way, let's do it a different way. I do not want to become sin. I do not want to be rejected by you, because I know you reject sin. And yet we have made the love of God and the love of Jesus to abide with sin in our world that we live in. Oh, just give it all to Jesus. Oh, Jesus is going to take care of everything. Jesus can't take care of anything if God doesn't let him. And that's a hard perspective, because I am not downing Jesus. I am downing the folks that are making Jesus something that he never was supposed to be. In most of our religious churches, we've made Jesus something that he's not supposed to be. He was a mere servant of God by which he brings salvation and reconciles man back to himself. Jesus was never to be made king, and they tried to make him king, didn't they? See, we the same principles exist when Jesus walked on the earth, now that he's risen from the dead, is we're trying to make him into something that he's not. God will raise you up, just like he raised Jesus Christ. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God, not Jesus Christ. Okay? Read the scriptures. It's all about giving God the glory. And God never gave Jesus Christ the authority over the mankind to receive the glory of man. It's all thanks to abound to the glory of God. So therefore, he gives us encouragement. Do not lose heart. Okay? Don't lose heart. The outer man is decaying. Okay? You can't do anything about that. You can work out. You can eat what you think is the best food in the world and put all your focus on what you're eating. You can take all them vitamin things and guess what? You're still going to decay. You are going to die. Now, you can do things in your life to make that happen faster, okay? You are the body of Christ. I mean, did you not know that you were bought with a price, that your body is the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit resides in you, and your responsibility is to take care of the body? But even with that responsibility, the outer man's going to decay. But that's not where we get the encouragement. That sounds pretty discouraging to me. But here's where the encouragement comes at, okay? Therefore, don't lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, your inner man is being renewed day by day. The inner man is being is your inner man being renewed day by day? Is this something that has been left out in your life? That he didn't say renewed on Sunday. He didn't say renewed at a conference that you go to and get a religious high. He said, is your inner man, that new man that's in you, that the new birth experience which gives you the new creature, the new man, is it being renewed each day? You see, we're to deny ourselves daily, aren't we? We're to take up our cross daily and follow him, aren't we? And see, if we're not doing these things and then expect this Jesus that's being taught and preached out there to take care of everything in our life, Jesus is letting a lot of people down, because they're putting a lot of hope in Jesus, because they have forgotten why Jesus came. And when we don't put this in the proper perspective, then we can create religions which allow people to then put all their hope into a Jesus, and then when things don't come out like they want to, because I tell you what, it's funny how we credit Jesus for everything, and yet there's people that deny God and the same blessings happen to them that happen to the people, and yet they don't even know God. Isn't it funny how that happens? It's because we're not putting things in the proper perspective. Therefore, don't lose heart, okay? It says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. So he's not making light of the things that we go through. Don't take this passage of scripture wrong and say, oh man, whatever you're going through, don't. No, he's saying compared to knowing Christ, compared to knowing the glory, compared to know what eternity brings, everything that you're going through is a light affliction. Okay? You got to compare it. Okay? It's like if I break my finger, that hurt. That's a bad thing, right? But if I break both legs, that's worse, right? So in comparison to two broken legs, my finger doesn't mean much. So that's what he's trying to explain here, is that all that life gives you, okay, in comparison to what God has given man and what God does in our lives, and it's hard. It's difficult to put this in perspective. Matter of fact, it's impossible to put it in perspective without help of the Holy Spirit putting perspective for you, okay? I had some clients come in this week, and bless their hearts, he's got some type of neuropathy that he's going to eventually be crippled and going to die from it. He knows it. And he come in, and now he's got braces on his legs so he can still walk. He walks with a cane now. And I just saw him a month ago, and there was no cane. Now he's a month later, he's got canes and braces on his legs so he can stay up. He's trying to take care of his wife who's got cancer. She's been through her fifth chemotherapy. She's spent the last 28 days in the hospital. Folks, what are you complaining about? Huh? My car broke down. My battery in my boat didn't start. Huh? A little uncomfortable. I mean, there's some people out there going through some bad stuff. And how do you keep your eyes focused on this holy God that's leading me through this life and getting me through this and put those things in as a light affliction compared to knowing Him? And that can only be through the work of the Holy Spirit within us. But it puts things in perspective of what we complain about, doesn't it? Tell you what, there's some folks out there going through some difficult times. That's producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. While we look at not the things which are seen, okay? But we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. All that you're going through is temporary. You young kids out there, don't end your life. What you're going through is temporal. Huh? Suicide rate among kids is sky high because there's no value to their life. Because the parents and the previous generations have not given them a value to life. God is the value to life. And see, we've not had them to fear God in thinking that, oh, well, I'll just end my life and guess what? It'll be better. Because everybody has told them that it's better, right? When you die? Isn't that right? Have you known anybody to go to hell that's died? Huh? No, everybody says they're in a better place. That's not true. And there's no fear of God anymore in our world. They should be so afraid to take their life, that to spend forever in torment where the thirst is never quenched. The worm never dies. Intense discomfort and heat forever and ever. That's better? That's better? We're not being honest with folks. And the religion that we're teaching today is allowing people to do that kind of stuff without no fear of God and no fear of facing eternity apart from being born again. The things which are not seen, the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. God, I don't feel the growth. God, I'm not getting anything for what I'm doing. You know why people get on these highs for God and all of a sudden they get real excited and boy, they're just on fire because they're expecting something, some kind of tangible thing that they're going to see and touch. But when that doesn't happen, then if we're not careful, we become very mundane, doesn't it? We lose our zeal, we lose our excitement, because nothing seems to be happening. Wait a minute, I had this expectation that God was going to do something great. You know, he already did something great. But no, I want him to do something great that I can see and touch. But he may not do something you can see and touch. There may be eternal growth that someday will come out that you don't even know about that's happening in your life right now. And so that's why he preaches and teaches so much on endurance. Because as we endure and we see nothing happening that we can touch and see, then we get discouraged, do we not? And so what he's trying to teach us here is to not get discouraged because you're not seeing it and touching it, but stay faithful in putting on the armor of God each day, renewing yourself each day by being the Word of God each day and practicing the Word of God each day, even though you can't see or touch anything.